So this morning, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, as we are continuing to follow the ministry of Jesus in Galilee. Last time we took verses 18 through 35 of Luke chapter 7, where we studied about John the Baptizer, how that John the Baptizer was in prison and sent some of his disciples to ask Jesus if he was the coming one, which is a Hebrew phrase for a designation of the Messiah. Are you the coming one, or do we look for another? That is, not another of a different kind, but another of the same kind. John was asking, are you the fulfillment, complete fulfillment of the messianic hope, or do we look for another just like you to fulfill the rest of prophecy? Remember, John the Baptizer came preaching a baptism of repentance because judgment was coming. It didn't look to John as though Jesus was bringing judgment. The Lord was bringing mercy and compassion and healing. So John sent his disciples asking concerning Jesus if he was the coming one, or do they look for yet another one to come to fulfill the rest of the prophecies. Jesus quoted from Isaiah, two places in Isaiah. After healing the blind and healing the lame and cleansing the lepers and raising the dead, he told John the Baptizer's disciples, go tell John what you see. Because Isaiah's prophecies were to prophesy that when Messiah comes, he would do all of these miracles as a physical sign that he was Messiah. So Jesus was telling the disciples of John the Baptizer, go tell John what you see, that Isaiah and his prophecies concerning Messiah have been fulfilled with my ministry. Once the disciples went back to report to John, Jesus turned to the crowd and basically by his presentation not only told the crowd but was teaching us that John the Baptizer was not doubting about Jesus, but rather questioning, because Jesus wasn't bringing the full fulfillment of the Messiah, that is judgment. Of course, Jesus will bring that when he comes at his second coming, but John did not understand that. So Jesus turns to the crowd and said, what did you go out to see? A reed shaken by the wind? Someone compromising, someone soft, someone dressed in fine clothing? Those type of people live in palaces. He says, did you go out to see a prophet? Yes, and I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For of those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. But the one who is least in the kingdom is greater than he. That is, John never experienced the true fulfillment of salvation as we know it today, and the fulfillment of Jesus' work on the cross, his finished work. Then Jesus talked about that generation, that wisdom is justified from her children. He said, you came to John the Baptizer, John the Baptist, who did not eat or drink, and you said that he has a demon. You come to the Son of Man and you say he's eating and drinking, he's a glutton and a wino, or winebibber, a friend of sinners. He says, you've contradicted yourself. He says, you're like children in the marketplace who first of all play the marriage ceremony music and say dance, but you did not dance, and then you play the funeral, express the funeral mourning and lamentation, and we did not mourn and did not weep. So Jesus was showing the contradiction of their generation and using John and being rid of all doubt about John's relationship with the Lord. For today, Luke chapter 7, verses 36 through 50, we have another interesting scene. Verses 36 through 39 introduce us to this next presentation by Luke at a Pharisee's home as he invites Jesus to come for a meal. In verses 40 through 43, we have the teaching of this episode. In verses 44 through 47, we have the application. And then verses 48 through 50, the Lord's direct message to this woman. First of all, let's read the text for today, beginning at verse 36 of Luke chapter 7. And a certain one of the Pharisees was asking him in order that he might eat with him. And after he entered into the house of the Pharisee, he reclined. That would be the literal translation. In those days, they reclined at the table. And this is an important note to understand the incident that happened. They actually laid on their side with their feet facing out, with their arm either resting on the elbow of the arm resting on the floor or on the table, so that they reclined at the table. Eating with the other arm that they were not reclining on. So, after he entered into the Pharisee's house, he reclined. Verse 37, behold, a woman in the city who was a sinner. When she saw that he is reclining in the house of the Pharisee, after having brought an alabaster box of ointment, and having stood alongside of his feet behind him, while weeping, she began to wet his feet with tears, and was wiping them with the hairs of her head, and was kissing his feet, and was anointing them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, the one who had invited him, saw this, he said in himself, saying, if this one was a prophet, he would have known who and what kind the woman is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. Verse 40. And when Jesus answered, he said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And he says, teacher, speak. Verse 41. There were two debtors to a certain creditor. The one owed 500 denarii. And the other 50. And they not having anything to pay him back, he forgave them both. Therefore tell me, which of them will love him more? And when Simon answered, he said, I assume that to whom he forgave the most. And he said to him, you have judged correctly. And when he turned to the woman, he said to the woman, said to Simon, do you see this woman? I entered into your house and you did not give water upon my feet, but she wet my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from which time I came in did not cease kissing my feet. Verse 46. You did not anoint my head with olive oil, but this woman anointed my feet with ointment. Of which reason, I say to you, her many sins have been forgiven, because she loved much. But to whom little is being forgiven, he loves little. Verse 48. And he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And the ones reclining with him began to say among themselves, who is this one who is even forgiving sins? And he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go into peace. Another scene presented by Luke. verses 36 through 39, the introduction to this teaching and presentation of the ministry of Christ, three things we want to point out to you. First of all, in verse 36, that a certain one of the Pharisees was asking him that he might come and eat with him. It was customary in those days that when there was a visiting teacher or rabbi in town, that the elder of the Pharisees would invite this visiting teacher or rabbi for dinner for the purpose of discussion. That is, the rest of the Pharisees would come and they would recline with this teacher or rabbi at the table and discuss with him about his teaching and about what he was about. So this Pharisee was now following the tradition of their city and of their time by inviting Jesus to come over to his home and recline with he and the rest of his Pharisee council and eat together so that they might discuss with him about his teaching. Secondly, verse 37, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. The term sinner is a phrase used for those people who were considered rebellious against the laws of God, who did not regard them, who did not go to temple. They were not followers of God. They were called sinners by the Jewish leaders. So there was a woman in the city who was a sinner, rebellious to the things of God. Secondly, in verse 2, along with this information about this woman, we are now told four things going through verse 38 about what she did in preparation for the main action, which is the main verb in verse 38, that she began to wet his feet. In verse 37, first of all, when she found out that he is reclining in the house of the Pharisee, and secondly, after having brought an alabaster box of ointment. Alabaster is a type of stone, a very expensive vase or box to put this ointment in. The word for ointment actually comes from the word more for the myrrh, which is an embalming ointment, very costly. So both the box and the ointment were very expensive. And after she brought this alabaster box of ointment, thirdly, verse 38, and having stood alongside of his feet behind him, as we gave you in our introductory remarks, remember they're reclining at the table with their legs stretched out behind them. So she was standing behind him alongside of his feet. Fourthly, while weeping, all of these participles show what happened prior to the leading action that we're going to be introduced to in verse 38 here in a moment. She's standing alongside of his feet, behind him, weeping, holding this alabaster box of ointment. Now in verse 38, the second phrase gives us the main verb, which expresses the main action. She began to wet his feet with tears. So the first thing we're going to be told four things that she did. First of all, she began to wet his feet with her tears. The word wet in Greek means to rain. So tears began to fall down from her eyes and her cheeks upon his feet. The second thing she did, she was wiping them, that is, his feet, with the hairs of her head. When she began to see that her tears were falling down upon his feet, she then took her hair and began to wipe his feet dry from her tears. Thirdly, and she was kissing his feet. The word kissing, I believe the King James says fervently kissing, She was kissing them over and over again. And fourthly, she was anointing them with the ointment. The third thing we're told in our introductory information in verse 39, now when the Pharisee, the one who had invited him, when he saw this, he said in himself, so these are thoughts that he had within himself, if this one was a prophet, meaning Jesus, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. So the Pharisee, making his religious approach to the scene and to those who are sinners, the Pharisees, being separatists, believed that it would make them unclean to have a sinner touch them or to come in contact with them. And so this Pharisee is shocked that Jesus would allow this woman to touch him with her hair and to touch him with her lips and to touch him with her hands as she put the ointment on his feet. If he was a prophet, he would have known what kind of person this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner. In other words, to him as a separatist, as a religious fanatic, he thought that Jesus should not have allowed a sinner to touch him if indeed he was a prophet. So now verses 40 through 43, the teaching. And when Jesus answered to him, he said to him, Simon. So the Pharisee's name was Simon. He says, I have something to say to you. And Simon responds, Teacher, speak, which is the traditional expression for those hosting the visiting rabbi or teacher. Teacher, speak. We want to hear what you have to say as a teacher. Of course, Simon at this point did not know that Jesus knew what he was thinking or that Jesus was going to address his religious issues. But he told a story in verse 41 that there were two debtors to a certain creditor. The one owed 500 denarii. The value of the denarius has changed over the years. But a denarius is equivalent to a day's wage. So 500 denarii, the plural of denarius, would be equivalent to about 500 days' wages. And another debtor owed 50 denarii, 50 days' wages. Quite a difference between owing 500 and 50. Verse 42, neither one of these debtors had the means to pay back their debt. So the creditor forgave them both. The word forgave, charizomai, comes from charis, for grace. He freely favored them and graced them by forgiving them of their debt. So then Jesus asked the question to Simon, therefore tell me, which of them will love him more? That is, the one that owed 500 or the one that owed 50, which of these debtors will love the creditor more for being forgiven? Verse 43, and when Simon answered, he said, I assume that to whom he forgave the most. And Jesus said to him, you have judged correctly. So the one that owed the most will love the creditor more. That's not saying the other one didn't love him, but the one that was indebted the most will love him the more because he was forgiven the larger debt. Now it's application, verses 44 through 47. And when he turned, that is Jesus turned, to the woman, he said to Simon. So he turned facing towards the woman to draw attention to her, but his words were addressed to Simon. He says, Simon, do you see this woman? Jesus now presents to Simon three things about what this woman did in contrast to three things that Simon did not do. He says, I entered into your house and you did not give water upon my feet, but she wet my feet with tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. So the first thing Jesus presents to Simon is the fact that it is tradition for those who receive visitors into their home to wash the visitor's feet. The travelers have been walking with sandals through the dirt, and their feet are dirty, and they would place and have water pots placed at the front door of their homes so that when the visitors would come in, they would wash their feet for them as a way of the host expressing his welcome. He said, when I entered into your house, you put no water upon my feet. The customary tradition for receiving visitors into your home. But she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. That doesn't mean that she, this woman, was crying, weeping, in order for water to fall on Jesus' feet so that she could wipe them because they were dirty. She had no intention of wetting his feet. This was a response coming out from the heart of the woman. She began to weep. As we will see in a moment, here is a woman who is considered a sinner, if not the sinner of the city, who has been forgiven much. She is emotional. She is passionate. She is expressing her love for Christ. And while standing behind him, she began to wet his feet and then wiped the feet with her hair to wipe the tears from her feet, and in doing so, she had cleansed his feet, not from a religious approach or a traditional approach, but out of her heart of love. Secondly, verse 45, Jesus said, you did not give me a kiss, but this woman from which time I came in did not cease kissing my feet. So he tells Simon, the traditional greeting at the door was not only to wash the feet of the traveler, but also to give him a kiss. I don't know if you've ever seen the newsreels of the Middle East. When two people come together, they kiss from side to side as the traditional greeting. It would be equivalent to our handshake. And that's the kiss that he's making reference to. You gave me no kiss. But this woman from which time I came in did not cease kissing my feet. Of course, she did not kiss his feet out of tradition or out of making up for what the Pharisee should have done. She was kissing his feet out of love and a compassion for him. The third thing in verse 46, Jesus said, you did not anoint my head with olive oil. Different than the ointment that the woman brought. It was also a tradition for those who traveled and for the traveler that when he came in, you gave him olive oil for his head. Also for a way of cleansing and making the traveler and allowing the traveler to get his head cleansed and organized. He says, but this woman anointed my feet with ointment. The ointment, the myrrh, some think to be over a year's worth of wages, all contained within this ointment and alabaster box. This woman has anointed my feet with the ointment. Again, out of a heart response, not out of tradition, not out of any religiosity. So Jesus makes the comparison. Then he says in verse 47, of which reason, that is these three things that I've just presented to you, I say to you that her many sins, notice the perfect tense, have been forgiven because she loved much. That is to say, her love shows that she has already been forgiven for her many sins. It does not mean that her love earned her the right to be forgiven for her sins. Some people read this first half of verse 47 and use it as a text to say that if you love people, God will forgive your sins. The second half to this verse actually expresses to us the in context that her love was in response to forgiveness. He says, but to whom little is being forgiven, this person loves little. So the perfect tense at the beginning of verse 47, her sins have already been forgiven, that is why she loved much. But to whom little is being forgiven, he loves little. The contrast between the religious Pharisee, who was a separatist, which is what the word Pharisee means, a separated one, a legalist, somebody who was very religious, in fact, to the community, considered to be the most religious of the Jews. As a separatist, he did not greet Jesus, did not wash his feet, nor kiss his cheek, nor anoint his head with the olive oil, even out of tradition. Not even mentioning religious expression. But this woman, out of love, responds to her Savior now. So the teaching here at verse 47 is telling us, along with the story of the debtors and the creditors, that the motive in response to Christ, and the only motive that shows that one has been forgiven, the only motive for that God will receive in response to him is love. In John 14:15, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. So Jesus is showing that out of motivation of love, if a person loves Christ, they will keep it. In 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3, an interesting text, in this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So my love for the brothers and sisters in Christ is expressed in the highest level of love, of my love for the Lord and the keeping of his commandments. Verse 3 of 1 John 5 says, and this is the love of God, in order that we should keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. They're not burdensome. If you can remember back at the time when you fell in love, how that love caused you to go to the extreme. Nothing was ever burdensome. You made room in your schedule for that one that you loved, and you went day and night so tired sometimes that you would almost fall asleep driving home. John in 1 John chapter 5 verse 3 says his commandments are not burdensome to the one that loves him. Because when you have a response motivated by love for Christ, then anything that he would have you to do is not a burden out of love for him. Now out of this response, the third thing, 1 John 4:19 tells us that we love him because he first loved us. That our love for Christ, which is the proper motive, which motivates us, compels us to obey Him. 1 John 4:19 says that love is not something that is produced by us. It is actually a response to His love. We love Him because He first loved us. The more I'm exposed to His love for me, the more the Holy Spirit moves in my heart in response to the Lord's love, responding with love for Christ. Galatians 5:22 tells us that love is a fruit of God's Spirit. This woman had been touched by the Spirit of God. She was the sinner in the city. She had learned about Christ in some way, maybe had seen Him, heard Him teach, might have even spoken with Him before. She might have even been one of the women from whom demons were cast out. If so, she would have already experienced the love of Christ delivering her from Satan. And when she heard that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house, she came to express her love to Him for what He had done for her. Look what Jesus says to the woman in verses 48 through 50. And He said to her, first of all, two things. The first thing, your sins, perfect tense, have been forgiven. Verse 49, the response, and the ones reclining with Him began to say among themselves, who is this one who is even forgiving sins? That's the whole point of God allowing this episode to take place. Jesus is the one who forgives sins. He has just now pronounced forgiveness to this woman who is the sinner of the city. And the religious leaders and the religious people were shocked. And their response, along with Simon's response about the woman touching him, shows that they were not motivated by love, but by religiosity. The second thing Jesus tells this woman in verse 50, and He said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go into peace. The term, your faith, the faith that has been given to you, that has come over your life, that has delivered you from Satan, that has provided the means by which you might be forgiven for your sins, this faith that has persuaded you, from which you have expressed this love, this faith has saved you. Now He commands her, go into peace. Be at peace. Go into a life of peace. We have been made to be at peace with God through Jesus Christ. We have made our peace with God through Jesus Christ. And we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. The Pharisee came by his rules and his regulations. He did not come seeking forgiveness. He had no motivation of love for Christ. He had never experienced the love of God. The Lord is revealing His love for this woman and for all sinners. It is interesting that Paul presented himself in 1 Timothy chapter 1 as the chiefest of sinners. Paul presented his life as a life of an example of if God can save the chiefest of sinners, that He could save anyone. And that was Paul's message, a message of mercy and love and compassion and forgiveness and provision for those who are sinners. At the end of John chapter 9, you remember the man who was blind had been healed. And the Pharisees who were observing this observing this man who was blind, who could now see, worshiping the Lord, Jesus said to the Pharisees who were standing by, "For this reason I came into the world, in order that the ones who do not see might see, and the ones who see might be made blind." And the Pharisees who heard these things, who were there with him, said to him, "Are you saying that we are blind also?" And Jesus said to him, "If you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say that we see. Therefore, your sin remains." They saw no need for a Savior. They were spiritually blind, but so religiously righteous. Jesus came for the sinner, for the one who is spiritually blind, for the one who calls out for mercy and for grace and for forgiveness. Religion produces self-righteousness and religious purity, but it is not a message and provision of love. That was the Lord's message at this particular occasion. Let's close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that by your Spirit you would reveal more of your love to us, that we might have a heart response and be motivated by love for you. Just continue to cause us to love you more, to serve you more, even as you have poured out your love and service to us through Jesus Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.